Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
This episode contains discussion of Slimming World, Weight Watchers, and similar programs. If you think you would not enjoy listening to that, I would advise skipping the second half of this program. Hello, friends, and welcome to Hello Friend. My name is Bethany Rutter, and today's guest is Lottie Burns. Lottie is a money-saving genius. That's literally her job, to know every deal, tip, trick, or glitch around that would enable you to save money on the stuff that you may or may not need. But first, how do we know each other?
So I know you from Twitter, just being a loudmouth on Twitter. Me and you, to
also
be fair.
Me, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should have, yeah, attracted each other. We got chatting. I sort of discovered your blog and Callie's blog and Danny's blog, being a big girl myself, so and like sort of just did that and reading it, and like you guys really inspired me, like, which is why I sort of set my own blog. It's a bit different to yours because
we'll come to that,
but yeah just social media, and like it's awesome to actually meet people in real life, isn't
yeah.
it?
Because we have been in the same.
I saw you once, but yeah. I chickened out saying hello.
Where was that place?
The Santander Media Awards.
Now, so, we need to explain this.
Yeah, like, why were you there? Like, what were you doing?
Why was I at the Santander Media Awards? I will tell you, Lottie, and anyone who doesn't know, my first job when I left university was at a financial magazine. I was a financial journalist.
Were you?
I was.
Oh, so you know more than me then.
No, I genuinely don't. Shout out to two people that I hope are listening to this, which is John Cudby and Charlotte Richards, who were my colleagues at Money Management Magazine from 2012 to 2013, who remain some of the coolest people that I know and tolerated my terrible attitude to financial journalism. It was not the place for me.
You're just not into it?
I wanted to be, because I like the people that I worked with so much, but I'm one of those people that was really bad at GCSEs and then got better the less subjects I had to study and could only...
I'm the opposite. I peaked at about 14, I think.
So you're like a generalist.
Yeah.
So you like to kind of know a lot about different things.
Yeah.
Whereas I will only try hard at stuff that interests me. So the less stuff that I have to do that is not relevant to my own specific and personal interest, the better. And oddly enough, a magazine for financial advisors was not the forum for me.
B2B's a bit dry, isn't it?
It was really cool. And I got to do loads of stuff. Like, I would write the cover feature and I'd like talk to really interesting people. But like, my heart just wasn't in it. And I feel really bad about it. Yeah, I feel like I squandered an opportunity that I should have made more of, but I understand why that's how it was.
It wasn't meant to be. Yeah.
It was not meant to be, but that's why I was at the Santander Awards.
That was my first ever awards ceremony.
And were you at one last night? Did you go to Headline Money last night?
Headline Money, yeah. I was up for Finance Blog of the Year. Didn't win it, but like my friend Andy from Be Clever With Your Cash did, and he's amazing, so...
Cool.
Really glad he did. But yeah, so I've been going to that for like 3 years now.
And Headline Money is like the big one.
The big one, yeah.
That was one of the last things that I did before I changed jobs.
Oh, did you?
I went to Headline Money Awards.
Like, it's really nice because I'm starting to like know people in the industry. Like, when you first go to these things, you don't know anyone and you're just sort of like hanging around sort of just by the free booze, just trying to find a friendly face. And now I'm starting to know people and it's a bit less awkward.
Yeah, and you're like establishing yourself in that world.
Trying to, but yeah, anyway.
So clearly the world of financial journalism worked out better for you because you do still work with money stuff. How did you make your way to your status as a money-saving queen on a self-employed basis?
So, such a long story, but we've got time, why not?
Yeah, so, we do.
So I left university with a law degree and I sort of moved to London with my boyfriend and my mate, and we sort of... I thought I was going to be so rich and like...
The honestly, path to London was paved
proper,
with gold.
Yeah, so I went proper baller about it. got a flat in Notting Hill.
What?
Yeah, we went big. Honestly, I was so arrogant. This was like 2009 and the crash happened, but still oblivious to it all. And then like just got through all my money, had nothing. It was so bad. Went on benefits, lost my benefits, ended up sofa surfing. Like, honestly, it was ridiculous.
You mismanaged every possible situation.
Every situation. There was a point, like, we were on this, like, a friend's sofa, just with no heating, no water, just going, what is my life? Why has this happened? And then I just got into, like, just trying to get back a bit of control. Because I look back now and it was quite funny, the whole situation. It was ridiculous. But, you know, I was depressed. That's what happened. Got into, like, Twilight books.
That's how depressed you are.
Yeah, I got, like, really into Twilight books. Oh, my God. That's better than my life. And then, sort of got into, like, Money Saving Expert of Martin Lewis. And
So you started reading that?
Just reading his website.
Okay.
Just, like, little things like how to go to the cinema for free. Like, which made a massive difference when you weren't leaving your house ever because you couldn't afford to, and what was the point? Like, you know, so just little things like that, and it was just so empowering, and it was really important to me, and I got really, really good at it. And then I noticed a job came up, went for it with Martin, and he's like, well, you're not a journalist. And I'm like, well, I know more about couponing than anyone else, like, trust me. And, like, he gave me a job, and that's how I got into the industry, just...
So you felt like you did have to kind of justify yourself that you weren't a journalist, but yeah. Also you have this, like, actual life skill.
Like, life experience. Like, I live and breathe it. I care about it. Like, it's really sad. But, like, one of the things I remember writing, you know, in my CV, it was like, I want to do a supermarket shop and pay nothing for it. That's my ambition. Like, but back then that was, yeah, that was the dream. And I think you could see a bit of, like, that part, you know, not everyone, like, cares in this industry about what they write about.
Yeah, totally. I was a journalist who had no relationship to my writing.
I meet them all the time that they don't care. Like, they're just doing it. And where I think you could just tell I really liked it. And then did that for a while, and then was editor at Student Money Saver, and was made redundant from there, like, in September, which, to be honest, isn't a bad thing at all. And then just started to just go freelance, just, like, make it happen. And
you,
like,
were like, I'm not going to look for another job. I'm just going to be my job.
So I'd started a blog, like, and I wasn't really doing anything with it. I was just, you know, like, a bit now and then. But I thought, why can't I can make this make money? Surely, why not? Like, I'm my expertise is making other people money. Why didn't I do it for myself?
Yeah, totally.
So I just went freelance. I've been doing it about a year now. Yeah.
I was going to ask you, like, a question that came to me was, like, are you good with money, or do you find it hard to take your own advice? And clearly the answer is, like, you are your advice. Like, this isn't advice that you're dispensing from a journalistic point of view. This is, like, I live my life this way, and I am monetizing that by encouraging people to do the same.
I'm a spender, though. Like, there are bloggers, amazing bloggers out there who are really thrifty, and they hardly spend anything, and... But that's not me. Like, I'll happily go on big holidays, but I'll do it in the most, in the cleverest way I possibly can to make every penny count.
So your goal is to, like, maximize getting what you want and minimize what you have to pay to get it.
I like to call it luxury on a budget.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Yeah, like, I'm a big believer. Like, I don't get in debt for anything. Like, I'll save up. Like, you know, so if I want to go and... I go on, like, big holidays that cost a lot of money, but I'll, like, start booking it 2 years in advance, you know, and make it work like that, you know. Just I try and do it sensibly. I try and get a deal, a coupon, all that kind of thing.
I love a deal. But obviously, I think something that is important, and you know this, and I know this, that, like, you cannot money-saving expert your way out of the terrible economy. Like,
no.
And it's not like, you know, there's all this stuff around about, like, how if millennials stop eating avocado on toast.
Oh, I couldn't even read that. I was like, I'm not even gonna read
it. It's just so stupid. It's just so silly and pointless. And, like, I think it's important that we say for the record that you cannot save money if you don't have money. Like,
no, it's impossible. It's like, yeah, it's hard. Like, the only thing I would say is, some, you know, it, you can do lots of research and get a little bit of control. Like, there are, like, I know it's cinema tickets. I know it's a silly thing, but for me, that was so important when you have nothing and you just got to do what you can and, like, don't beat yourself up. You know, like I remember writing a response piece to, like, a BBC article, like, a few months ago about getting on the property ladder when you're under 25. You shouldn't be. Like, don't pressure
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah, what are the... Like, if you're able to get on the property ladder under 25, it means you're probably from a family that can enable you to do that.
What they were doing, they were encouraging... First of all, they were encouraging, like, young people in relationships. And it's like, well, how many of you are still with your boyfriend from, like, when you were 19 years old?
Certainly not me.
That's not, like... a clever decision. Like, it's not wise to just get on the property, you know, property ladder. And there's people who, like, never move out of their family home. And I just think, well, if you really want to, like, make money and do that, fine. But just go out and have fun. Like, you don't need a house.
And
25.
Not everyone can stay living with their parents for, like, financial reasons, social reasons, work reasons, whatever.
All, yeah.
And it's just such an unrealistic goal. And it feels like it's important to kind of acknowledge that when we're talking about, like, money saving tips, we're talking about, like, saving money on stuff you're going to buy anyway. This isn't, like, a way to kind of, like, get yourself...
Your goals are different to my goal. We've all got, like, money saving goals, whether it's getting out of thousands of pounds of debt, whether it is saving up for a flat, or if it's just, like, surviving, you know, like, there's...
Or buying something cool at the least possible cost to yourself.
Yeah,
like, and they're
exactly.
all fine things to want to do. But yeah, you cannot money save your way out of a terrible economy that is built to, like, beat up young people, and
it's probably going to get worse.
Will only get worse.
It's only gonna get, yeah.
So I want to talk about, like, the money saving greatest hits. What is, like, the glitch to end all glitches in your career? Like, the best stuff that you've scored for free or cheap, by fair play or foul.
Okay. So
cast your mind back.
Right. So, like, my favorite one would be the sofas I've got.
They cool.
Were, yeah, they're like £600 sofas I got for £30. There was a glitch on the site, and they actually came. I had to wait like 6 months for them, but I couldn't believe that happened. And yeah, so.
And they're sofas that you wanted. They're not just, they're like they're,
I mean,
fine.
I'm going to be honest with you, they're fine.
Like, they are sofas.
They're like, I was like, oh, £30, I've got no money. They're going to do. They're not offensive. They're not like the dream sofa.
They're not like a sofa with a swastika on, though. Like, it's just any.
They're not that. But. They're fine, yeah. But so that was amazing. And everyone was like...
A £600 sofa for £30. And that was literally just like the company put the wrong price on the website.
Yeah, that's like my favourite way of doing this.
Yeah.
And then there's like, when I first started Money Saving Expert, there was a glitch on cheese. Like, if you bought like 8 packs of cheese, it all went down to 30p, something like that. And, like, and my job at that time was just going around all like the Tesco's in London, like... buying up all the cheese, that, like, carrying them back. Yeah. And
then, so that was literally your job? Or that was your personal
project?
Yeah, they were
like, go see what you can get for the article.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So I spent days wandering around carrying back, like, a huge amount of cheese and sticking it in my freezer.
For future consumption.
Wasn't good for me, yeah.
So do brands like money-saving sites, or are you kind of their nemesis?
They... Well, do you know what? Like, I've pissed off some brands. Like, Boots don't like me.
You're just too thrifty. You're too thrifty for Boots.
No, some really do. Like for a start, Money Saving Expert, brands, like, can't, like, just do anything to be on there.
Because Money Saving Expert has such a huge platform that it doesn't matter whether they're kind of giving a deal which gives some money off. The people that will be exposed to that brand through Money Saving Expert will more than compensate.
Like, back in my day, and that was like 3 years ago, like, they had over 10 million people.
That's so wild.
You know, like newspapers don't get that. Like,
no.
They don't get close to it.
Yeah, like, to be honest, if I'm going to do something, if I'm being forced to spend money on something that I don't really want to spend money on, I will look on Money Saving Expert to see if there's a way that I don't have to pay for this thing.
Exactly.
Or like...
And, like, because I'm thrifty and, like, good with money, and my readers know that, if I'm saying to you, you know, this is a really cool product, I think it's a bargain, actually, like, people tend to, like, listen to me. So, like, brands know there's value in that, whereas magazines will flog anything that's being paid
it's true
for.
Yeah,
so they do, like, they want your face. That's what they want. Yeah,
and it's like a level of trust, like,
exactly.
You're seen as an authority in this space, so
yeah. And, like, you've got to be so careful, like, not to abuse it. Like, I it shot me. It got to a point when I was like, people will actually go by what I say. And I do my best not to, like, call on anyone or give bad financial advice or, you know, recommend payday loans and all that shit that would make me loads of money. But...
Yeah, because I guess, like...
People do.
You do have a really big responsibility when you're writing about finance. And
Yeah,
that's true. Bad I hadn't
decision.
Thought about that.
You've got to, like... Honestly, the money I could make if I promoted certain things... Which I won't, you know, because I just don't think it's good for readers. But yeah, you've got to, you know, there's other ways. You can make a living from it, but
You do make a living from it.
I do make a living, just about. Yeah, starting out, yeah, so.
And are you enjoying being kind of in charge of your time and your schedule, or do you find it's quite scary sometimes?
Because I'm like gobby and I like people, I thought working from home would be the worst thing in the world. But honestly, it's amazing. I'm like, I love it. Like, you still have meetings and you still go see your mate, so it's not like you don't see anyone, which is what I sort of thought would happen. Yeah, and it's great just managing your time, not dealing with like politics and managers or people you don't respect,
and having to ask when you want to go on holiday, or like chasing up some form that HR have.
But you know what though, I've found it's like I'm not good at the like money aspect of it though. Like, so I always feel poor recently. I'm not got to grips with it, because I'll be owed like money, but there'll be no money in my bank account. I'm like, why aren't you paying me? Come on, guys. So it's, I'm trying to get used to that bit of it, like, because
other people's unreliability.
Yeah, like,
there's no
like
one
chasing money.
Yeah, and there's no one that's like accountable to you. Like,
yeah,
if I get paid slightly late, I know to email Denise in HR.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she will sort it. Whereas like you have like 50 Denises in HR to
yeah,
be like, yeah,
and it's
please
like,
pay me, please
oh,
care.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, you owe me money, you know. It's so I'm getting a bit, getting strict of that, and being, you know, a bit smarter with doing it. But I totally think it's like in my industry anyway, like, you know, in journalism, I think you're crazy not to like get a blog and protect yourself. Like, when I was at Student Money Saver, I felt for a long time that there was a possibility I was going to lose my role there, and it gave me such a calm knowing that there was a backup of this blog, you know. Like, it wasn't making any money at that point at all, but I knew I could do something of it. I wasn't gonna be sat in my house like I was, you know, when I first moved to London and like became really depressed and
read Twilight,
you know.
You knew that if push came to shove, you could monetize the stuff that you'd built.
And it was, and like, yeah, and it's all, what I've realized is like, it's all about just having the balls to like ask people, like pitch and like ask for things. And I'm not good at that. I'm like, I've always been a bit like, oh, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself or put anyone out of their way. But honestly, the key to doing well in this game is just
ask for it.
Asking for it.
I think it's really important to recognize that you think that everyone knows what you know, but recognizing that you have some kind of special insight or skill or experience that other people don't have, that you can monetize that. Like, you can totally monetize and exploit the fact that other people don't know the stuff that you know. And there's a reason that people come to your blog to read about what you know. It's because you are an authority. And I think it is really easy to devalue that and just be like, oh, like, I'm nothing special.
Yeah. And like, because I'm a personal finance, not personal finance, a soft money. So it's sort of like your credit cards and your shopping and your holidays. Like, I've always got, had a bit of like, not a chip on my shoulder, but I'm always a bit like, I'm not real money. I'm not like stocks and bonds. And, you know, whereas, you know, do I look like a fraud? Can I even, you know.
Is this stuff that anyone could know about?
Yeah. Like, does anyone care? Like, everyone knows you can use a coupon at a supermarket, right? But the truth
people
is,
probably don't.
Well, the truth is, I know how to maximise that, so you're not wasting your time on 30p coupons.
Yeah.
Like, so it's little things like that. Yeah, it's just it's all about self-belief in this game, honestly. I've sort of figured that, I don't know, the older I get, it's like, no one knows what they're talking about. The people who like bullshit and push themselves do well. That's
and you do know stuff. And
yeah,
you
of
are not bullshitting. So you deserve to be there as much as anyone else.
I do.
If not more.
Thank you. I know, it's just an issue I have where you know, like, you go, oh, I don't belong here. I don't, you know, I'm lucky I won that. But it's just that imposter syndrome, isn't
it? Yeah, totally. And yeah, I think that's very common.
Yeah.
So what area of spending do you think has the most capacity for saving? So like travel, groceries, leisure, gym membership, anything? Like, where do you think the most money can be saved, or you need to spend the less money to get what you want?
So probably travel. That's my like the most interesting one, I think, for me.
Like international travel.
Yeah, so, well, you know, like, even like, if you look at train travel here, if you split your ticket, you can save, you know, up to 70% on your ticket.
Oh my god, I hate paying for train travel.
But
and
I'd never
look into like split tickets.
They've got now like brilliant tools, you can just put it in, and So I don't know if you know how it works. If you go to Swansea to London, for example,
which
I
you do because that's where you're from.
Yeah, like a ticket will cost £60, which is ridiculous because it's cheaper to go to France on a plane. Like yeah, but if you get a split ticket and you pay for potentially like a single to Bristol and then a single to Cardiff and a single to Swansea, that could be £30.
Like, but do you have to get off the train in Bristol?
You don't have to get off the train. So that's split ticket in, yeah.
So I would always assume that it meant like you have to buy one single to Bristol, then a single from Bristol to Cardiff, and then a single from Cardiff to Swansea, and that they were all different trains.
No, no, it's all on the same one. That's how. But there's tools that can do that, yeah.
So what? Name the tool just for the people listening.
So Money Saving Expert's got a tickety split. That's the main one. Oh, I forgot what the other one is called. That's the main one. It's a good one.
That's okay. I'll put like a link where I'm able to.
Yeah, tickety split. My friend made it. It's awesome. And then like with flights, there's like this trick you can do called hidden city ticketing.
I saw this on your blog.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by it. Can you like just in a nutshell explain what that is?
So there are lots of airport hubs around like the world. Some are better than others. So like in New York, that's a big one. It's a big one, and because lots of people go to New York, it's quite expensive to go there. Whereas Oslo, like not a lot of people go there, and the industry there want you to go there, so it'll be quite cheap to fly there. So what you can do if you are happy to spend time figuring this out is what I did is I wanted to go to New York, but I did it via Oslo, which is a bit weird, but it works like that. Which meant I got like return tickets for I want to say £230
on like a normal airline
on British Airways direct, whereas the same ticket at the same time was like £600, and what you do is instead of actually flying to Oslo, you get off where you change, which would be New York. So you can't take suitcase because that would end up in Oslo.
Yeah, I knew there was something in your article that made me be like, there is a catch. Yeah. It's not like a catch, but like an inconvenience.
You can't take your suitcase. So like if you're happy to figure it out, like find the cheap hubs, fly to there and get weird stops, but the stops are where you want to actually go.
Yeah.
That's how you can like cut loads off. And there's an amazing website as well called Holiday Pirates.
Okay.
And they like find these crazy cheap like holidays and flights, all the glitches, you know, like mistakes and hidden ticket sort of.
I'm gonna start stalking Holiday Pirates.
It's my favourite one. It's you go on it and you go, I can't believe how cheap this holiday is. So
you've truly inspired me. Yeah. I need to think big about my travel booking rather than just accepting what is offered to me by like Skyscanner or whatever.
Yeah. So I'm like a big believer in like you never regret the money you spend on a holiday.
Yeah.
For me anyway, like obviously, you know, as long as you're not in debt or anything, like I've never, I don't know, I think it's worth more than like clothes. That's how I don't know.
But you shouldn't spend any more on it than you have to. And if you can get like a cheap one, then that's so much better.
And like, you know, you got to clear your cookies and all that kind of thing.
I always look in like an incognito window. Okay. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Whenever I'm looking at like the price of anything that could fluctuate, I look in like an incognito browser on Chrome. Is that the same?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Secret hotels as well, that's another one.
Okay.
So when like a hotel having an empty room like is a waste of money, but they can't like reduce, if you're the rich,
you can't be seen to be charging like £100 a night for
exactly.
a £700 room.
So what they'll do is there's a website called Hotwire, that's the one I use, but there's also one on lastminute.com, and so they'll go, there's a hotel and it's in this area and it's 5 stars and a room is usually £400 a night, but it's going to be £150 a night. But you don't get to know the hotel till you've paid for it.
But it's not that hard to figure it out, right? If they use certain words in the description, you could always...
You can Google them and figure it out, yeah.
But even if you couldn't, like, how bad is it going to be?
You know what, though? If it's like a 5-star hotel in a certain area, like, it's fine, isn't it? Like,
it's not going to be some flea pit shithole.
Exactly.
It's certainly not. What is, like, your one favourite app or site or resource that you think is, like, the one for anything, for any area?
This is easy. Quidco.
I knew you were going to say that, and I was worried that you were going to say that because I feel like I've wasted my life by not using Quidco.
Oh my god, are you not using Quidco? Oh my gosh. I feel like you must buy all the clothes as well.
I spend a lot of money on the internet and I don't use Quidco.
I've honestly saved about £1,000.
Oh, I feel sick. I've wasted
Quidco
my life
in the last like 3 years because I'm a shopper too.
Okay.
Honestly, so if you don't know Quidco, it's a cashback site. It's also top cashback and To Be Seen. That's another one that was made by Kate Thornton recently.
So that's wild.
It's a bit weird. And so every time you shop via Quidco, like for, you know, I don't know, Topshop, whatever, they'll give you a percentage of the money you spend back. Like, I think like ASOS has 10% at the time.
I spend so much money on ASOS and I've just been like squandering this fortune.
You get like 10% back, or another one for me, Hungry House.
I
get 10% back on Hungry House often, and like it all adds up, and I get my flights through there. So
I'm gonna make myself really rich via Quidco.
You so need to do this. It's like, yeah, it's so good.
I knew, as soon as I said like, what is your favorite site, I knew I was gonna learn something that I should have done.
It's money you spend anyway.
And I've known that Quidco exists for such a long time, and I just have not taken advantage of it. I don't know why. I'm wasting my life.
So good. Yeah, get into it.
So we are sitting in the studio and you are holding a bottle of water, but yeah. I know what you would rather be holding is a bottle of Diet Coke. Ugh. Tell me about the Diet Coke situation.
So like, I've been massively addicted to Diet Coke since I was about 13.
Okay.
So I remember I went to Weight Watchers when I was like a 13-year-old girl, and they like peddle Diet Coke on you.
They do. I was myself in Weight Watchers when I was 17, and they basically, at least at that time, they assign points values to food based on a mixture of the calories and the saturated fat.
Yeah.
And Diet Coke has no, basically, the nutritional value of Diet Coke, they sell it to you as being the same as water. So you are really encouraged to drink Diet Coke.
Yeah.
It has no points.
And it fills you up.
It's basically,
and it's sweet, so you're not, you know,
it feels like you're consuming something, but it has no points.
Yeah.
So for the Weight Watchers world, that is like a big sell. So I'm not surprised that anyone that's been through Weight Watchers comes out feeling like Diet Coke is their best friend.
And I've been going to like, which has stopped. It's just thankfully stopped. Going to Slimming World and Weight Watchers for 20 years, like constant. Like the amount of times I've been go. I'd go, then I'd sort of quit and then go back a few months later. So, and Slimming World, again, sort of pedals. So I would drink a lot of that, and I was massively addicted. I'd have like at least 6 cans a day, like 2 litres. Like I could even do more, but you were like, it's a lot of money. And I think I used to sort of smoke, and I used to like, I'd be like, well, you know what? Like, you know, Diet Coke's least of my problems, you know what I mean? Like,
I've got enough other stuff going on. I can have my Diet Coke.
Bad things like you know, it's not going to kill you, right? And then, like, one day for an article, I just wrote down like how much I'd spend on it, and it was like £20,000.
20 grand of Diet Coke.
I spent a Diet, and I was just like, do I even like this stuff? Like, you know, if you think about it, like, I would honestly like drink it first thing in the morning because I needed it, and like, if I didn't have it in the fridge, I'd start panicking, and I was like, that's like when I used to smoke. Like, that's the same sort of symptoms. Like, I am properly addicted to this stuff. I don't want to be I don't want to be, like, they're mugging me off here, do you know what I mean? So I was like, I'm just gonna go cold turkey and
remove Diet Coke
from
my life.
And like, weirdly, as soon as I quit, I stopped craving sugar,
even though there isn't sugar in Diet Coke. It was like the sweetness.
Yeah, like, my body was like, where's the sugar then, I think, and then was making me want to do it. And I don't have as much sugar as I used to have, like, which, you know, I don't know.
Good for your teeth.
Just good. Yeah, because I've got, like, some fake teeth. Like, that's how bad Diet Coke was. Like, I've got, like, fake teeth. That's,
I guess, consuming that much fizzy stuff, like, fizzing against your teeth is also not good. Note, I am not a dentist, so take everything I say about your teeth with a pinch of salt.
I just think anything that, like, you're addicted to, you know, and, like, I would just ignore it and be like, and I get really annoyed at people being like, you know, it's bad for you. And I'm like, yeah. Like, yeah, I do, fine. But, you know, I don't know. I think it took me, like, writing it down and really going, oh, you're drinking all this and you have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, feeling that's like this isn't something I enjoy. This is something that I feel like I cannot live without. This totally superfluous item. It's not water. You wouldn't literally die without it.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have stuff you like.
And you know what? Like, from writing that article, I have had hundreds of people come to me being like, what you drink is like nothing compared to what I do. Like, I am fully, fully addicted. Like, I think it's a really big problem for a lot of people.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
And have, like, you tried Coke Zero?
Yeah, it's just, I'm just now water.
You're water only?
I'm water only.
Because I'm a big not to like get you back on the wagon, but I'm such a big fan of Coke Zero.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. I think it's delicious.
You every day doing it?
I do not drink it every day. I would never have tried it, but I was traveling for work and my boss had one and he said to me, shall I get you one? And even though I didn't want one, I knew that if I didn't get one, I'd feel jealous that he had it. So yeah, I said, yeah, I will have one. Thank you. And from that day forward, my love for Coke Zero was born. And Diet Coke Cherry is vile, but Coke Zero Cherry is delicious.
Interesting.
So that's my take.
I don't get those people who are like, oh, you can't tell the difference between Pepsi and Coke. I'm like,
you honestly can.
Taste buds.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different. Like, yeah, I don't know. I've got to the point now, I've noticed that there are like certain foods I can't eat. Like, so I'm 31 and like, honestly, from about 28, I was like, oh, I'm getting like the worst heartburn after like cream. Or I'm getting like IBS if I'm eating wheat. So like, I'm trying to do this thing where like, I've been doing this like almost clean eating thing where I've gone back to basics to see what food is making me ill.
Yeah.
Yeah, like honestly, like it's been really fascinating to like look at what, you know, what food is doing to
yeah,
me.
The yeah, the effect that what you're consuming has on you.
Yeah.
And because for so long, if everything to do with like food and food consumption is uniquely linked to weight loss, if you're
yes,
doing it through this like Weight Watchers, Slimming World situation, you only ever see it through that lens and you never think about like, and as soon as you stop doing that and you're like, great, my life is great again, I'm not like tied to this like silly point system or like counting calories,
yeah,
you forget that like food has other properties than calories,
yeah,
and it can have an effect on you. Like I recently discovered that I can't eat bulgur wheat, and I can eat other kinds of wheat, but bulgur wheat makes me feel so unbelievably ill. And before that, I would have just been like, oh, I guess I ate too much food and that's why I don't feel very well. But I was like, I know that I ate like the same amount as my boyfriend and he is fine. And I feel like I'm going to die because it's the bulgur wheat. It's the bulgur
yeah,
wheat. So I ate it again and it was the bulgur wheat.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I think that's a, like a really sinister side effect of making like fat people like myself only focus on like, their health as a kind of consequence and related factor to their fatness, because it means that you're completely disconnected from all the other like kinds of health,
yeah,
and that
yeah,
you only see food as like a thing with calories rather than like it, all of the other stuff that goes on with food.
So I'm talking to a nutritionist and she said what I have and like what a lot of people have is like this disconnect from their head and their bodies. Like they don't think about what's going on. Like it's just all in the head. It's all like you're the weighing scale, it's all, you know, like the size clothes you are, but so you're not really thinking about when you're eating what it's doing to your body. So like when, you know, I used to have like horrendous heartburn and I assumed like, oh, it's because I'm fat,
yeah,
it's because I'm eating shit or whatever.
Yeah, you've
and,
totally
and,
internalized
you know
it.
It's because I'm not good at dairy.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's just you assume it's because you're a shit person and you're awful and like you deserve it. But, you know, I've had like a lifetime of like hurting my body. Do you know what I mean? Like just going, starving myself. Like, you know, like
yo-yo dieting.
Doing like taking horrible pills. You know, like all sorts of things. And you do have this disconnect. You don't know what hurts your body. Like
because you are not allowed to think about it in the same way that a thin person would. Like
yeah,
if a thin person didn't feel very well after they ate something, they'd be like, oh, the food has hurt me.
Yeah,
and that would be a totally normal thing. Whereas like to a fat person, you're like, I am not connected to my health in any way because my health has been completely linked to my fatness.
Yeah.
And I have no insight into like what is good for my body beyond like what I'm told is like a weight loss food.
Yeah.
And it's wild. And it's wild that like we have got to this position.
When this nutritionist came to me, I was a bit like, I'm not really interested in this. I'm not interested in dieting. I'm not interested in hearing about these things. And she was like, I don't need to tell me I can't have sugar. I can't have this and all that. I'm just so over it. I'm tired. And she was like, you know, I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't eat. I want you to like, to try it like, and take it back to the beginning, just, you know, and then, and you see what you can and you can't eat, you know? So,
and what makes you feel good and what makes you feel bad?
What makes you feel bad? Yeah, exactly. So I've been thinking about this a lot recently, but you know, you just go, I've lost a lot of weight before. I've been thinner and like it didn't last, right? Like
it's, yeah, and yo-yo dieting is so bad for you.
Yeah, and you just go, you know, it's not me. I'm not. I go, you know, but I eat healthier. You know, I exercise. I'm, you know, like it's not fair. You know, you go, it's ridiculous. It goes, it's because you're not eating. You're eating in this really weird way that you're not supposed to. Like you go to Slimming World and you're eating six sugar like fat-free yogurts. It's been really interesting to like just look at food in a new way without weight being a
motivating factor.
Yeah, it's a bit freeing.
Well, like the whole weight loss industry, like Slimming World and Weight Watchers and the like, are built on failure. Like, if diets worked, and you can't see this because this is an audio program, but I'm doing air quotes around like diets failed. But if diets didn't fail, if diets were able to work long term, then stuff like Slimming World and Weight Watchers wouldn't exist because people would lose weight once and keep it off for the rest of their lives. That doesn't happen. Most studies into, and again, air quotes, obesity, only follow people that have lost a substantial amount of weight for 18 months, which isn't long enough to kind of truly see the long-term impact of that. But if you followed people for 3 years, what you'd see is that 97% of those people regain all the weight that they've lost. So by creating this culture of like, we will put you on this program and it will have instant success, or like at least very quick success, that encourages you to keep going back because you believe that this time will be different.
Yeah.
But like, it won't be different.
Honestly, it took me, like, I like to consider myself a bright girl. You know, I'm bright.
You are,
I'm
bright,
savvy.
Yeah.
I've done it, honestly, for 20 years going, I know, and I knew it wasn't going to work, but it works for a little bit. And you just go, it's you. You are the problem. Like, you're the reason. You left. You know, you did.
You just didn't try hard
enough.
Yeah,
but it doesn't work.
And I also think we need to, like, be more critical of the personal responsibility of fat people to lose weight. Like, yeah, sure, it's true. I'm sure it's true that if most people went to Slimming World and followed the rules, they would lose weight. But the fact is, most people don't keep it off. And whether that's like a personal responsibility thing or it's just a response to the culture we live in, the culture that is like food obsessed, you know, the golden age of like eating out culture, especially in London,
yeah.
Food advertising, whatever big companies claim they're trying to do about it. We are bombarded by stuff that is telling us how delicious food is and that we should be consuming it. And just because we're also being bombarded with messages of like shame about being fat, it doesn't mean that we live in a culture that makes it easy to be thin. So I just feel like, yeah, maybe even if it is your personal fault that you put the weight back on, like we do not live in a culture that is conducive to people being thin.
Yeah. It's hard. Like I sort of always, I always used to think that like being fat is really, really hard. It's hard, like you know, you go through sort of life like feeling shit, you're not like, you know, you take up too much space, like, you know,
it's embarrassing to be fat.
Yeah, like you have to like worry about, am I gonna fit in a plane? Am I gonna fit in a theme? But you know, like there's just all that shit, right? It's not easy being fat, it's really hard. Unless you're like pretty overweight, you can't understand the daily like burden of it. And then you were like, well, dieting and like exercise, that's hard too, but like probably being fat's harder, right? And that's sort of like the,
yeah.
And you go, well, maybe it's worth just not eating and then make that, would that be easier? And it's that like, oh, I don't know.
They are both really difficult. The psychological.
Are, there is no, and I don't know, you just get tired and you're like, God, the amount of time I like think about food and weight, and It's exhausting, isn't it? And you just go,
yeah, like, what if I didn't do that? Like, what if I live my life based on other stuff? Like, what if other principles guided my life? And then as soon as you start being like, I'm not going to think about what I'm eating, it is kind of easy to let go. And you do just become, like, magically happier if you are able to do that.
So you're like, you I think like you're in a better space than me. Like, do you never, like, panic and you go, if I just ate whatever I wanted, I could, like, bloom up in constant stress and, you know, like going, you can't just do what you want. Like,
I don't know. I never really think about that, but
I think maybe it's I get a bit neurotic about these things. I'm just like, you know, you've got to have this control. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, it is a psychological obsession. Like, I'm not surprised that so many people in our culture have problems with eating. Like, we are culturally not set up to make good decisions about food. Okay, well, I've had a delightful time talking to you, and I'm going to ask you a few questions to end this encounter.
Sure.
Okay. If you could find a money-saving glitch on any website, what would be, like, your dream place to, like, shop on with a massive...
Anthropology.
For, like, homeware and, like...
For homeware, because just bought a place and I can't fill it with nice things and everything's beautiful on that website.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Next question. Which emoji do you feel represents you the best?
Shit one.
The smiling poo.
The smiling poo.
That's a good one.
Yeah, best one.
If you were going to go to the shop and buy some crisps, what brand and flavour would you buy?
Right, okay. This is not a simple question, but probably Monster Munch beef flavour.
So Michael said exactly the same thing.
Oh, he's good taste.
Yeah. Yeah,
they're an excellent crisp.
Yeah.
Pickle onion, good too, but it's the beef one. Especially the big bags, 99p ones. Yeah.
This is so wild. Like, two people who I've asked this question to on Hello Friend have both said Monster Munch, beef or pickled onion, and not said Flamin' Hot. This is so interesting. You and Michael,
like,
need to talk.
I've got no problem with Flamin' Hot. Like, I love it. I've got a lot of opinions on crisps, but yes, this beef one's beautiful. I don't know.
They are. And they don't really taste like beef. They're just like something else. They're like salty.
Yeah. Salty meat.
And my final question, is there anyone that you would like me to talk to on the show that you can think of that you'd be like, I want to hear a chat with that person?
Probably talk to Callie. You're getting Callie on. Killing it, isn't she?
Yeah, she's like at the top of her game.
And
she'd just be great for chat. Like, I need people that are chatty. I can't have, like, strong and silent types on this program. Yeah. I need to talk to people that like talking, and Callie likes talking, and I like that about her. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
It was a pleasure.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.